Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're looking at the big trends in M&A across Europe and what's expected going into the autumn. I'm joined by Rupert Koch, who is the senior editor and head of Iberian coverage. Hi, Rupert. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Juliana. It's always a pleasure.
So to begin with, like much of the rest of the world, the EMEA region has had to contend with higher interest rates from 2022. Could you run through how M&A in the region has coped with that higher interest rate environment?
I can give you a one-word answer. Badly. M&A volumes fell sharply as interest rates went up. This was largely due to less activity in the private equity sector. However, towards the end of the period, we've been beginning to see some green shoots.
And so you mentioned green shoots. Does that indicate that the cycle has begun to turn?
Yes, indeed. Dealmakers have been telling our reporters that they're beginning to see activity, and that's reflected in our data as well. The numbers are getting better and we're beginning to see some activity as debt costs come down and people begin to anticipate lower debt costs in the future. One thing that's worth mentioning is that we talked to the providers of virtual data rooms. Now, I'll explain what a virtual data room is for any generalists who are listening. They're known as VDRs in the jargon. And when people set up a deal on the sell side, they create something a little like Dropbox, where they drop all the documents from rental contracts to employment contracts, and then give different bidders access to different documents at different times. And the platforms that provide the VDRs can give us a great early indicator on what M&A activity is looking like, because they can see how many VDRs are being opened, and that then we can extrapolate from that what activity will look like 6 months down the line. And we have been seeing around the world more and more VDRs, which implies that the second half of the year will be better than the first half. The first half has been pretty good already as debt costs have come down. So we think that we will see increasing amounts of deal activity, assuming there are no shocks, whether that's increased hostilities in the Middle East or an increased trade war with China and between China and the West.
And how optimistic are European dealmakers about M&A after the summer break?
They are indeed. I think it's worth mentioning Germany, which is part of a region that people in M&A call DACH, which is Germany, Austria and Switzerland. And M&A practitioners in the region are betting on a surge in deal activity in September and October. And one of the hottest areas that we will see there are German mid-cap companies, which have been held by private equity firms for a long time. These haven't been able to come to market while interest rates were higher, and a lot of deal makers are expecting a lot of activity in that area.
And can we look at some other countries? Actually, one thing about Germany and the DACH region, what activity is expected there in September and October?
I think the reason is that private equity exits in Germany were hit particularly hard by disruption to the energy markets in 2022. And there's a very simple reason for that. A lot of the German industrial base was made possible by cheap Russian gas. After Russia invaded Ukraine, there were obviously sanctions from the Ukraine. After the Russian invasion of Ukraine, there were obviously sanctions on Russian, and the gas stopped flowing. And that hit the German industrial sector particularly hard. However, dealmakers tell us that that shock has now worked its way through the system. People have found alternative energy sources, and that sets the scene for a glut of exits, which dealmakers expect to see in the months ahead. In one of our trend spotters, which is a forward-looking feature looking at deal activity, we ran a quote from someone saying that the question is not whether the second half of the year will be active in Germany, but whether it will be hyperactive.
And that's the picture in Germany. Could you talk a bit about some of the other countries in Europe, such as Italy, France and Spain?
France is particularly interesting. M&A activity has boomed in the first half. And the question is, to what extent it can continue to boom in the second half? As you know, there were snap parliamentary elections, which led to a hung parliament. And at the time of recording this podcast, there are tense discussions around forming a government. The result is uncertain. However, dealmakers in France do think that activity will probably continue to be stronger. They don't think that many deals are likely to be put on pause, particularly those that are not exposed to sensitive sectors with state involvement. Many of the biggest deals in France have been outbound transactions with large listed flagship groups. So, for example, we've seen Saint-Gobain buying CSR in Australia. We've seen Vivendi's Canal Plus buying assets in South Africa. And we've seen a takeover of Millicom, which is a Luxembourg-headquartered Latin American-focused company, by a French firm. So deals like this are much less likely to be impacted by the political uncertainty.
And then coming to Italy.
In Italy, M&A has also been booming, and dealmakers are also wondering to what extent the trend will remain sustainable in the months ahead. There have been a number of mega deals with a value of more than €1 billion, as we've seen in France. And Spain has also been particularly active. We've seen a rare unsolicited bank takeover, which has been declared hostile. And that is BBVA making a pitch for Banco Sabadell. And people in Spain see last year as a transitional one, but as interest rates come down, more activity is expected.
And can you talk a bit about where I'm based in the UK, where we've got a new government?
Of course, the victory by the Labour Party is seen as very good news for infrastructure. The outgoing government tended to underspend on infrastructure, and Labour's manifesto was very strong on infrastructure investment. We expect to see a lot of that in the UK. There will be private sector involvement in that trend. One thing that's worth noting is that large companies in the UK remain very active, and that will definitely be a driver of the market in the months ahead.
And what about private equity? You mentioned earlier that higher interest rates meant that there's a lot less activity with private equity. Is that changing?
It's a great question. As well as seeing less activity, we've also been seeing slightly different activity. So private equity firms have been looking for new ways to structure deals. That can involve structures like continuation funds, where the private equity fund will set up a new fund that will buy assets that belong to an old fund. However, we have begun to see more secondary buyers, or SBOs. SBOs involve one private equity firm buying an asset from another private equity firm. And there's a resurgence in that segment of the activity. In the second quarter, we were getting to the levels we saw before the downturn. And dealmakers expect that to continue, particularly as interest rates come down, which will help the debt market.
And can I ask, is that change in activity driven by the fact that funds just can't hold on to assets after a certain period of time?
Absolutely. Funds can only hold assets for a certain length of time, but it's very difficult to predict what the macro environment will look like over the long term. As we saw in Germany, where mid-cap companies held by private equity firms, it was difficult to exit them during an energy shock. So the private equity firms tended to hold them longer. We've been seeing a lot of that throughout Europe. And as market conditions improve, the backlog will start to get cleared.
So you mentioned energy. Green energy is a particularly important sector in Europe. Can you talk through the trends you're seeing there?
Yes, I think this is one of the most interesting trends in Europe. We're poised to see private fund managers inject billions of euros into the low carbon economy. We see investors like impact funds who are interested in decarbonisation and net zero. And I think this is going to be quite possibly the biggest and most important trend in Europe in the months and years ahead. I think there's one thing that's worth mentioning that's really driving this, and that's environmental, social and governance, known in the jargon as ESG. Criteria for investment is becoming increasingly important, particularly in Europe. And decarbonisation is just such a huge... decarbonisation requires such huge amounts of capital that it's going to be a massive driver for activity. One trend that we're seeing within the sector is public to private deals. These involve private equity funds taking listed green energy companies, buying them, taking them off the stock market, and they think that they can do more interesting things with them in a private environment than in a public environment. And we expect that trend to continue as well.
Good to talk to you, Rupert. Thanks very much. That was Rupert Koch, who is a senior editor and head of Iberian coverage. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Mergermarket. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the podcast. If you want to find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.